Last week I was going to preach this message, but we didn't get around to having a message. We were just passing around praises and how we were thankful, and ended up taking a large chunk of our time, and so we didn't get to the message. So I'm going to be preaching that message tonight, and this was really the capstone to our prayer series, Prayer in Jesus' Name. We've been talking about all sorts of things in regard to prayer, the different types of prayer. We've gone through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession. We've talked about each type of prayer and how we are to approach each type of prayer, really centering around the reality that prayer is an opportunity for us to conform our hearts to God's heart, to conform our wills to God's will, to seek, to ask, to knock. We went through the model prayer. We went through the John chapter 17 advocate's prayer. And tonight we're going to cap this series off with talking about prayer in Jesus' name. In John chapter 14, I guess it would help if I got there myself. You'll have to excuse me. My mind has not been quite as focused of late as maybe normal. Janet, did you hear that our babies have come? So, yes. They are in the hospital. We are bringing them home tomorrow, Lord willing. And so very excited about that. But anyway, it's been a busy couple of days. So my mind is here and there and everywhere. So John chapter 14. Look with me if you would. Beginning in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus Christ speaking, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so we as believers end our prayers with, in Jesus' name, amen. That's very, very typical. Now, that's not always the way it is, but that's a very typical way that you find yourself, and I find myself, ending our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray in Jesus' name. And a few years ago, I started really wondering why. I understood this verse, but what is Jesus Christ saying here? Is this our little lucky rabbit's foot at the end of our prayer that says this is going to get answered? Because he says here, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Well, have you ever asked for something and thrown an in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of it and still not gotten it? Yeah. So what is Jesus Christ saying here when he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do? I put it in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of my prayer. Why did it not come to pass? Well, what if we fail that James 4 test that we were talking about? Ye ask, or ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. If I'm asking amiss, but I throw that little in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of my prayer, that means I'm okay, right? Because whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And so I started contemplating this, and I want us to work through that this evening, to think about the reality of what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Now, we have talked to some degree about how a name is often used in the Scriptures. Now, when we reference the name of God, we should think of some things. Normally I would get interactive here, but I'm going to try to keep things rolling tonight. So I'm not going to get interactive with you. I'm just going to kind of feed you this evening. Hopefully you can work with that and it doesn't detract too much from your thought process as we're trying to work through this. So when we reference the name of God, well, we should think not just about his name God or his name Jehovah. Literally, names in the Old Testament were supposed to be a culmination of who that person is. When God swears by his name, he is swearing by his entire being. Everything about his character is wrapped up in his name. We should think of everything that God is. We should think of everything that defines his character. When the Lord passed by Moses, we read it, I believe, just this past Sunday. When he passed by Moses and declared unto him his glory in Exodus 34, when he passed by, he said, Moses, I will declare unto you my glory. And as he passed by, what were the first words that God spoke? The Lord God. As God was trying to describe his glory, what he elaborated on was, I am Jehovah. I am the I am. My glory is wrapped up in my name because my name is a description of who I am. And so a name was not just a moniker. It was not just a designation. It was something more than that. It was supposed to describe, it did describe God. God's names are His attributes. That's why He takes on so many names in the Scripture. He is the Most High God. He is the Everlasting God. He is the Almighty God. He is the I Am. Each one enunciating, elaborating on some aspect of God's character because His name was tied into who He was. When we reference the name of the Son of God, should it be any different? Should it be any different when we reference the name of the Son of God? In Isaiah 9, the Scriptures tell us in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So when Jesus Christ, when the Messiah, when the one that was to become, when His name was supposed to be given to Him, His name was nothing more than His attributes. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name, His attributes were wrapped up in His name, and His name was wrapped up in His attributes. If you were to ask Ezekiel what the name of Messiah was, in Ezekiel 34, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken to it." And God would go on to describe Himself as the good shepherd. So when Jesus Christ came and He started describing Himself as the good shepherd who feeds His sheep, immediately the Jewish mind went back to Ezekiel, and immediately it went back to the very attribute of God, that God said, "I will be the shepherd for my people." If we were to look at the angel Gabriel as he was talking to Joseph, in Matthew 1:23, he said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," as he's quoting, "and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And of course, that's quoting from Isaiah. And so what we see here is the name of Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. The name of Jesus Christ is the Shepherd. The name of Jesus Christ is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Mary, in Matthew 1:21, another, again being spoken by the angel, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from his sins." Jesus meaning Jehovah saves. And so why is it that if His name would be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, if He would be the Good Shepherd, if He would be Emmanuel, and all of these names that were designated to Jesus Christ were designated to describe Him, not just to designate Him. See the difference? His names were describing attributes, not just giving Him some moniker that we would call Him by. Why is it that the name of Jesus would be any different? Why is it that all of these other names, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, would describe Him, but Jesus Christ would just designate Him? See, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus Christ is describing Him as well. Jesus, Jehovah says, Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. See, when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we're not just throwing out there a title. We're not just throwing out there a designation and hoping that that designation is our lucky rabbit's foot to see our prayers answered. If we were to walk through the book of Acts, oh yeah, that's right, I remember the lucky rabbit's foot from before. I don't have my mind enough with me to explain that tonight. You all can keep working on that. Lene got a kick out of that last time I was talking about a lucky rabbit's foot in prayer. So, yeah, that's why the smiles are happening on this end. I got it. If we were to walk through the New Testament and see how the name of Jesus Christ was used by the disciples, in Acts chapter 3, we'd see it. I was going to go to these, but we're going to keep moving tonight. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we would see His name being designated for power, for identity. in Acts 16:16-18, his name was designating his power and his authority as demons were being called out of people, as men and women were being healed from diseases. They would do it in the name of Jesus Christ because they were calling upon Jesus Christ for his glory and for his authority and for his power to see the miracle done. Because the miracle was not done in the power of the disciple. The demon was not cast out in the power of the apostle. They were calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, who he was, and the finished work that he did on the cross of Calvary in order to enable them to do what they could not do themselves, but what God had enabled them to do through Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. So, we're not just talking about a designation. It's not simply enough to throw an "in Jesus' name, amen" at the end of our prayers and expect that that means by default they're going to be answered. There's got to be more to it. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. I believe Hebrews chapter 10 has a wonderful description of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to begin in verse 11. We'll actually focus in a little bit farther in the text. This should be a somewhat familiar text to most of you. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. The writer here, most conservative scholars believe it was Paul. The writer is contrasting the Levitical earthly priesthood with Jesus Christ's priesthood. It says in verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," speaking of Jesus Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." That's referencing the new covenant promise in Jeremiah 33. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Now, look with me, if you would, in verse 20 through 25. 19 through 25, excuse me. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." See, what does it mean, we ask, to pray in Jesus' name? Well, it means that we enter boldly into prayer unto God the Father through the authority of Jesus Christ the Son. That's what it says in verse 19. "Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ." Have you ever thought about how strange it would be to the Hebrews as they were reading this letter to think about walking boldly into the Holy of Holies? The Holy of Holies, the place that was entered once a year. The Holy of Holies, the place that was separated by this thick veil. The Holy of Holies, the place where the priest that went in had to have a rope tied around his ankle and had to have bells on his garment in case he did something wrong and he was struck dead by the very power of God. They could pull him out if they heard that jingling stop. And yet here in Hebrews, the author is telling them that you can have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies. You can have boldness to come to God in prayer, directly into the very presence of God through the authority, the name, right? The name of Jesus Christ was used, Acts chapter 3, Acts 16, the name of God in the Old Testament to designate His authority. All through Daniel, we see the Most High God showing how authoritative God is. So by the authority of God, of Jesus Christ, by virtue of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we can have boldness to walk right into the very presence of God through the name of Jesus Christ. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we can walk into the presence of God. So to pray in Jesus' name is to access the authority which we have through the blood of Jesus Christ to enter in. Pastor, what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus Christ? It doesn't just mean in Jesus' name, amen. It means we are coming to God, recognizing that our authority to do so is through the blood of Jesus Christ, coming through the blood of Jesus Christ, recognizing that, and coming boldly to the throne. My wife and I flew to Colorado a few weeks back for a baby shower. When it was time to enter that plane, we showed our tickets as proof that we had access to that plane. Now, without being disrespectful, that is what the blood of Jesus Christ is to some degree or another. As we showed our ticket to that plane, they scanned those tickets and they said, okay, you have authority by this ticket to enter onto the plane. Now, when we go before God in prayer, Jesus Christ is the authority by which we can enter into the presence of God. Just as that ticket was my authority to get on the plane, and I'm not trying to minimize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what I'm enunciating here or elaborating on. It is the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, that gives us access to the throne of God. Now, the scriptures clearly teach, Romans chapter 8, that God does not hear the prayers of an unbeliever. He does not recognize those prayers. Now, why is that? Because they're not coming in the name of Jesus Christ. They can throw that in Jesus' name and amen in there, but they are not coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not. They do not have access to the holiest of all, to the presence of God, because they are not under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, so it means to enter boldly into prayer unto God the Father through the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. Continue with me looking in Hebrews chapter 10. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So we don't just enter boldly, but it says that we draw near with a true heart. We enter boldly into the Holy of Holies, but then we draw near to God. Does that sound like aligning ourselves with God? As we've talked through this prayer series, every week we've talked about how prayer is an opportunity for us to see God's will, recognize God's will, pray for God's will, seek God's will, and attempt to align ourselves with God's will. The very reality that we enter in with Christ's authority, through Christ's authority, demands that we enter in aligned with Christ. I'm not going to go into the throne room of God by the authority of Jesus Christ and ask something that is contrary to Christ. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Jesus Christ is the very authority through which I am there, and I'm asking something that's contrary to Him. We don't do that. So each week we've talked about this opportunity to align ourselves with God through prayer, and this is what praying in Jesus' name is. It is entering boldly. It is drawing near. We go to the Father through the Son, who is our intercessor. And I just write here, if every authority that we have to go to the Father rests in the Son, then we should be properly aligned with the Son when we go to the Father. So we come boldly to the throne of grace. We draw near with a true heart. Do I need to use in Jesus' name, amen, then? Do I need to throw that in there? Well, there's nothing in the Bible that makes us believe that we have to throw the "in Jesus' name, amen" at the end of our prayers. It does not necessarily have to be invoked in our lips. As we study what "in Jesus' name, amen" means, we recognize that it is our recognition of the authority of Jesus Christ and the alignment, drawing near, the alignment with Jesus Christ. Yet, it is a wonderful reminder to us, is it not, if done properly, as to the nature of prayer, as to how we enter into prayer. Just as we pray before every meal, and if we're not careful, praying before a meal becomes rote, becomes nothing more than tradition, becomes almost useless, because we've lost its purpose, its meaning. So too, this little phrase, "in Jesus' name, amen," has so much meaning, has so much purpose, but we lose it sometimes. We fail to recognize it sometimes. We forget about it sometimes. As a matter of fact, I tried for about 6 months to stop doing the "in Jesus' name, amen" at the end of my prayer and throw the "in Jesus' name" somewhere else in prayer. Try it. You can get the "in Jesus' name" somewhere else in your prayer, but trying to end your prayer without saying "in Jesus' name, amen," it's just, how do I finish then? It's very difficult to do because we have been conditioned for so many years. And you know, that's not necessarily a wrong thing. You notice I'm back to doing it. That's fine, as long as we recognize the purpose. As long as we know why we're doing what we're doing. As long as we recognize that when we're saying "in Jesus' name, amen," we're not just invoking, here we go again, a lucky rabbit's foot that is making our prayers get answered because I'm throwing the name of Jesus in there. You know, that is literally the belief in a large part of this world. I had a roommate from Nigeria when I was in college, and he would tell me how there they had a lot more demonic oppression and these sorts of things, and how people, unsaved people, it didn't matter, wicked people, it really didn't matter. They just say how they just toss the name of Jesus Christ everywhere because they felt as though the name of Jesus Christ would suppress all of these demons. And just throwing the name of Jesus Christ around was enough to for them to suppress these demons. Well, the fact of the matter is, as we look into the very nature of the Word of God, if we could go to Acts and see that one account where the sorcerers were trying to cast out a devil in the name of Jesus and in the name of Paul, and what does the demon say? Well, I know who Jesus Christ is, and I know who Paul is, but I have no idea who you are. And he ended up beating them up and tearing their clothes off, and they ran away. Because it's not just the name, it's not just the designation, the moniker, Jesus. It is the authority and the power that comes with the name of Jesus Christ that we are praying in. It is supposed to remind us that when we draw near to God, it is through Jesus Christ that we draw near. It's supposed to remind us that when we draw near to God, we are drawing near. We are drawing near. We're not asking amiss that we may consume it upon our own lusts. We're asking as God would have us to ask. The name of Jesus Christ. Sincerity is the key, as with all things in the Christian life. Sincerity is the key. So I encourage you, hopefully, at least over the next few times that you go to the Lord in prayer, and by God's grace, every time you go to the Lord, let's not take that last little bit of our prayer, "in Jesus' name," for granted. Let's not allow that "in Jesus' name" to just become tradition, habit, routine, or, God forbid, let's not let it become a feeling that we're invoking some sort of power simply because we're saying this five-letter name. No. The power comes through the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through the letters that come out of our mouths. Let's close it with prayer.